conquer stress, boost happiness, and create an extraordinary life. Welcome to Uplift with your host, Jamie Fessel.
Good afternoon and happy Monday, everybody. This is Uplift, and I am your host, Jamie Pfeffer, welcoming you to the show on this fabulous Monday afternoon. It's absolutely gorgeous here in Michigan. It's still the winter time, and it's still on the cold side, but the sun is just out in full force. I don't even see any clouds. It's absolutely gorgeous. So I hope that it is sunny in your state as well, or wherever you are around the country or around the globe, because we do have listeners from all over the United States and all over the planet. We have people from France and Australia and Ireland and just so many other places. So I'm just thrilled to be here with you today and thrilled to bring you another episode. And this episode promises to be one of the best yet. There are so many benefits to the topic that we're going to be talking about, everything from instant stress relief to boosting your creativity. And this method is something that pretty much anybody can use, whether you're up in your later years, people that are in their midlife can use it, teachers can use it, coaches can use it. Children can use it, and teens can use it. And the really cool thing is about our awesome guest today is that she has a couple of best-selling books on Amazon, and she works specifically with kids and teens. So if you have some kids and teens in your life, we will talk about that topic as well, but we're also going to talk about everything else. So by this point, you're probably wondering, well, what is this amazing topic that she's talking about that covers all of these people and at all different stages of life? I mean, it's something that is very near and dear to my heart, and it is mindfulness. So the topic of today's show, the title of today's show is, are you missing out on the extraordinary benefits of mindfulness? So I want to ask you a couple questions. Are you craving more peace of mind? How would you like to work less and accomplish more? And would you like to increase your overall happiness and concentration? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are in the right place. By the time this show is over, you are going to have some new tools in your toolbox that are really going to enable you to squash anxiety when it comes and washes over you. And it's going to help you sharpen your focus and really have a go-to tool that is quick, simple, and easy that you can use anytime, any place, really, anywhere that you are. You can teach this tool to other people, and it's going to benefit them as well. And it's also going to lower your, I did a speech on stress a couple months ago, and when I was researching it, I discovered that 3 out of every 4 doctor's visits are due to stress-related illnesses. When I read that, I was just blown away. 3 of every 4 doctor's visits. So just imagine how many colds or different types of things that happen to us that we could actually avoid. And even when I was preparing this show and just thinking about the benefits of mindfulness and trying to put them in quantifiable terms, because I think that as humans, sometimes you know, if someone says, well, this is really beneficial, it's like we need to hear it in more of a specific way. So I was trying to think of, you know, okay, so let's say that you had 10 illnesses last year and, you know, 7 of them were stress related. Think of how much time you spent going to the doctor or suffering, you know, especially if you're in pain, if it's something like a headache or, you know, stomach issues often go hand in hand with stress and that type of thing and anxiety. For me, I can speak from my own experience. I suffered from practically debilitating anxiety for many years, and it started pretty early in my childhood. I mean, it isn't easy to quantify the emotional pain that I went through, but, you know, just thinking in terms of, like, different therapists that I saw and counselors, and, you know, then I started thinking about, obviously, the medical bills. I started thinking about the impact that dealing with those things, what I could have avoided on my relationship and also on my relationship with myself, you know, my own self-esteem and just so many other things. Mindfulness, there are so many benefits to it. And I mean, like, direct benefits. And I don't know, I'll have to ask our guest when she's on, I don't know if the statistics are the same, but the most recent statistic that I read on meditation is that only 8% of the population has a regular meditation practice. So I still struggle with trying to figure out why more people don't do it. But I think one of the things that you're going to gain from today's show is, you know, if meditation, if you've tried it and it's very difficult for you, and I'm talking about a traditional meditation practice where you sit in silence, I think that you're going to find a different way to go at it after listening to today's show. Because I certainly don't think that people don't meditate because they don't want to do anything good for themselves or because they don't want to avoid their pain or stop the pain. Because I think, you know, at the end of the day, we all would love to lessen our pain. We would love to lessen our stress. Maybe we just don't know how yet. So maybe we aren't aware of exactly what we can do. And, you know, I created this show and wrote my book and I do the things that I do because I want to bring to the public easy, quick, practical things that anybody can do. And I want you to learn from my mistakes. You know, I've talked about going through periods of depression and anxiety and really struggling at various times of my life. And I don't bring those things up because I want anyone to feel sorry for me or because I want pity. I bring it up because it's like, here, you know, I spent 20 years or 25 years struggling, and I can remember the pain. I can remember being on the floor and just being overwhelmed with sadness or feeling like I had emptiness inside of me or avoiding certain things out of fear, like public speaking comes to mind, or just really avoiding life because I had such high anxiety. And now that I've been on this journey, I want to bring to you the things that I've learned so that you don't have to waste so many hours reading all the stuff that I read to, you know, to get to a better place of peace, or, you know, the angst or being up all night or whatever it is, and really so that you can learn these quick practical tools, these simple little methods that I've just uncovered just through various things in my life and also through really being in the right place at the right time and having the right teachers placed in front of me. I pull from a lot of different disciplines, And it's very interesting in terms of my show because, you know, it's like doesn't really belong in a perfect little box. It's not just for business people and it's not just for moms. And, you know, I really see it as a big, it's all related, you know, it's all related. So my hope is that you can really save yourself hours of time and hours of energy that you can use in a positive way to really further your life and the lives of everyone around us. Because if you're listening to the show, you're a go-getter. I know that already. You know, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You're probably on your lunch break. I think it's amazing, and I want to commend you for doing that. It's absolutely incredible. You're putting yourself first, and you're an awesome person, and you are a light worker, and you are someone who is here to really share your gifts with the world. So I just want to thank you for that, and I also want to say that later in the show, I am going to let you know about a way that you can win $75 cash just for sending me an email. So I'll fill you in on that a little bit later. But so for now, I really just want to jump right in. And before I bring her on, I want to tell you a little bit about our guest. And I met Deborah Burdick at a conference last year. And she goes by the Brain Lady. And I just thought that was so cool. Like, what an awesome way to identify yourself. And I'm so into meditation and, you know, I just like sing its praises from the rooftop. And I'm just really excited. You know, there's so many different forms of meditation available. And I just feel like there are a lot of people out there who either aren't aware of it, there are a lot of myths about it, and who just don't know how powerful it is and really how quick it is and practical. It's just like once you start doing it and it becomes a part of your routine, it's just like it's like brushing your teeth. I mean, that's how it is for me. And Deborah's going to talk to us about mindfulness, and we are going to find out, you know, is mindfulness the same thing as meditation? Is there a difference? What exactly is mindfulness? You know, what kind of practices constitute mindfulness? Because even for me, in my teaching and different reading and things, you know, it's come up in various different forms. So we're going to learn all of this stuff. You're going to learn how you can incorporate more mindfulness into your life. You're going to walk away today and know you're going to have techniques that you can do. And I am going to hold you accountable. I want you to tell me how you are putting these techniques and tools into your life. So Deborah is a psychotherapist, and she recently retired from private practice to slow down a bit and focus on her writing. She helps people improve their lives using everyday mindfulness skills. So awesome. She's a frequent speaker. She teaches workshops on mindfulness as well as ADHD to psychotherapists, teachers, and other helping professionals across the country and online. She's the author of 2 Amazon best-selling books on mindfulness skills and 4 books about ADHD. Her CDs help with ADHD, sleep, and mindfulness. And she's currently writing a book about non-medication treatment strategies for childhood ADHD. How awesome is that? So without further ado, I would like to welcome my very special guest, Deborah Burdick. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm great. I'm just delighted to be here. I just love talking about mindfulness and helping other people understand what it is and demystifying it.
Awesome. Wonderful. Well, that's exactly what we're all about here. And, you know, like I explained, I have a pretty varied audience, but, you know, they're all go-getters, ambitious, positive people who are really trying to better their own lives and, you know, better their relationships and better their communities. So, you know, anything that we can teach them, that you can teach them, to do those things and to really, you know, shine their light and just have the extraordinary life that they are after and that they deserve is exactly what we're looking for today.
Awesome. So, I'm really looking forward to teaching a few skills that you can use right away. So that will be
wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I'll turn it over to you. Do you want to start with an exercise, or would you like to just start with a basic idea of what mindfulness actually is?
Well, I'd really like to start with an exercise, and you'll understand why I start with this one in a minute, and then we can certainly talk about what mindfulness is and do some of the other. What I'd like to start with is a present moment awareness skill that you can do anywhere. It's called the mindfulness of surroundings. You do it with your eyes open, and I'll just lead it so that your listeners can do it with me. Only take, you know, just a probably less than a minute here to do it. The goal is to bring your attention to your surroundings, wherever you are, if you're sitting inside, if you're sitting outside, if you're in the car, wherever you are, to just for a few moments bring your attention to your surroundings and let go of everything in your mind that's not about your surroundings. You know, all the busyness of your day, all the things on your mind, all the things you have to do, all the things you had to do to clear this time to listen to this, all those things, to just let that go for now. You can pick them up later. But for now, just look in front of you and pay attention to what's in front of you. Just for me, I'll just tell you what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a wall, a green wall. I see a lamp. I see some artwork on the wall. I can see my computer in front of me and my printer. And I'm just paying attention to that and looking at every detail all the way around the edges of the wall and then narrowing my focus into something very specific on that wall. And then I'm going to look to my right, and I want to look and see what's over there. And again, I have, because I'm inside, I see another wall, I see different artwork, I see a window with some blinds and a curtain and a nice pretty color on the wall, and a baseboard at the bottom, and an outlet. I want to look at the other side now, and oh, it's very different. There's a couple of doors. There's a closet over there. The door to the room is there. A different kind of a chair is there. And now just look up and notice what's above you. I've got a ceiling here, and I've got a fan with a light and a cord hanging down. There's a smoke detector there. There's a vent that has for the air conditioning. Now look down and notice what's under your feet. I have a carpeting on my floor. Just look at the color of the floor, the texture, maybe the material it's made out of. And now bring your attention to closer to you and notice how you feel. If you're sitting down, notice how you feel sitting, how your feet feel on the floor, how your bottom feels on the chair or couch. And then just, I'll be quiet for just a moment and notice the sounds in the room. And now take a nice in-breath and notice if there's any odor or fragrance in the room. And then notice what the temperature is. Is it warm? Is it cool? Is the air moving or still? Does it feel comfortable in here or uncomfortable? And then touch something with your fingers. For me, I'm touching the top of my desk in front of me and just notice the texture of it. My desk is pretty smooth. The temperature of it is just kind of neutral. It's not warm or cold. It's hard, you know, when I touch it, it's solid. And then just let go of that and bring your attention back to my voice. And I'd like to just ask you what that felt like for you. Because part of mindfulness is to do the exercise and then to reflect on what happened when you did it. And 90% of the people that I've asked that question of, and you can tell me if you agree, will tell me they feel calmer. They feel more relaxed. Their mind quieted down. It calmed down a little bit. They forgot about all things they were worrying about. And that is one of the awesome benefits of mindfulness, that in just a very brief moment, we could do it in a much quicker way. You can do this little exercise when you get in the car in the morning, when you're if you're going to an office or going to work, to just orient yourself to the space when you first get there and just sort of settle in and bring your attention to it. You can do it when you're feeling stressed out, to just clear the stress out a little bit and relax yourself. And you're going to start to discover that you're training your brain to be more present, to be focused on what's right in front of you instead of worrying about the past that has already gone by or the future that hasn't come yet. You're going to be present, and you'll start to realize some of the benefits of doing that.
I love it. I actually have a similar activity that I do as one of my one of the lessons in one of the classes I teach. So I said on the information that I sent out for the show today for people to bring a piece of candy or an apple. So if anyone's listening, I would love to do that exercise right before we close the show. So grab yourself a piece of candy. A Hershey Kiss looks great. Or an apple, or maybe some other type of fruit, and we will do that before the show ends as well.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, can you talk a little bit about what mindfulness is?
Certainly. I like to talk about the definition that Jon Kabat-Zinn gives. He's sort of credited with being the grandfather of mindfulness and bringing mindfulness from the Eastern traditions more into the medical community at the UMass Medical Center and so forth, and he's written lots of books about it. And he says that mindfulness is paying attention to something in a particular way, on purpose, non-judgmentally. So the key there is paying attention to something. And what is it that you are setting your intention to pay attention to? So it could be your breath. I mean, that's an age-old focus of meditations and mindfulness, is to focus on your breath. But it could be focusing on your surroundings, which we just did. Could be focusing on your body, the physical body and the sensations in the body. It could be focusing on your emotions. Could be focusing on a task that you're doing. I think that is so huge for people to realize that they can be practicing mindfulness when they're doing what they're doing, whatever it is, if they set their intention to pay attention to that task in particular. And every time they notice that they've been distracted or their mind has wandered, which it will be, okay, if we're alive and breathing with 60,000 thoughts a day, we're going to have other thoughts. That's normal. As soon as you notice that you're distracted and you're not thinking about what you set your intention to think about, to bring your mind back to that and just keep doing it over and over and over. And it gets easier with practice. Even the most practiced mindfulness gurus still have to do that because their mind will go off task just a tad and they got to bring it back again. But it gets easier with practice. So we're going to pay attention to something, we're going to choose what that is, and in a particular way, on purpose, non-judgmentally. And the judgment piece is huge for us because we all judge all the time. And I don't mean that in a negative or critical way, it's just how we all are designed. We are always choosing things that we would rather have rather than things that we don't want, or things that feel better or whatever, or that work better. And it's important when we notice that we are distracted or our mind has wandered to not be judging ourselves and beating ourselves up and, you know, kind of being mean to ourselves to say, okay, well, I can't do this. I must be stupid. There must be something wrong with me. I can't keep my mind focused. Rather than doing that to ourselves, to be non-judgmental, we would say, I just noticed that my mind has wandered. That's normal. I'm going to bring my attention back to what I was intending to pay attention to. And by doing that, we are training our brains, we are rewiring the neural pathways in our brain to get better and better at being able to pay attention and to stay focused, which obviously helps for folks that have trouble concentrating. If you have anxiety or depression or attention deficit disorder, it's harder to concentrate. So this simple practice can even fortify your ability to pay attention.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
And it's not just the meditation, you know, that a lot of people, when I mention mindfulness to them, they automatically think of a formal sitting meditation where, like mm-hmm. you mentioned earlier, that they're sitting quietly with no thoughts, not moving,
right.
not thinking. And that isn't even really what meditation is, but I consider, you know, the difference in the way that I teach this between mindfulness and meditation is I see meditation as one of the skills of mindfulness. It's a particular way to be mindful. And that, sure, we would love to be aiming ourselves and training ourselves to be able to sit and meditate for, you know, 30 seconds, maybe for a minute, maybe eventually for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, maybe for an hour. But that's not where we're going to start. We're going to start with paying attention to our surroundings or paying
mm-hmm.
attention to the task we're working on or some of the other skills that, you know, I know you mentioned the one with the food, being able to pay attention to your breath, but to start small and then build mastery with practice. And so we don't need to judge ourselves. We can just be where we are, where we're at, and start where we're at.
Awesome. I love that. And I love the idea of self-nurturing and self-love. And I've used the story of, I'm really blessed to have two beautiful girls. One is 6 and a half and one is 2 and a half.
Oh,
and I was around to watch them both learn how to walk. And children are amazing. I mean, they're just incredible. And so are people around the children that are learning to walk. And it's like, if we can keep that idea in mind, you know, when both of my kids were learning how to stand up, it's like, you know, they get on one foot and we have like this huge party, you know. It's like, yeah, it's so great. They take one step and we're just, everyone is encouraging and applauding them, and they fall and they just get right back up and they go again, and they fall and they get right back up and they go again, and they don't get mad at themselves. They don't, you know, they don't reprimand themselves. And it's such a beautiful reminder to me to have patience with myself, and that, you know, progress, not perfection. And especially when I'm trying something new, that I'm not mm-hmm. going to be, you know, in that example, it would not be fair to assume a child is going to master walking, you know, the first or the 30th day that they're doing it. So, you know, I try to keep that in mind for myself when I'm learning something new. And I talk to a lot of people about meditation, and, you know, there are a lot of myths about it. Even the sitting meditation, there's a lot of myths. Like, you know, you have to be a guru to be able to do it. It's religious. It's, you know, and I think a lot of it is just, it's a matter of education and sharing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I wanted to repeat something that you said, which is, even the most skilled mindfulness practitioners or meditators, they don't get to a place where they're just in attention, you know, 24/7. I think a lot of people are trying to measure themselves up, number one, to others, but number two, they have this idea that of what mastery is. And I've been practicing meditation, sitting meditation, for 2.5 years. I do it 3 times a day. And mindfulness, the practice of attention, I have something that I call my 3 essential tools for success, and it's called JAM, and it stands for journaling, attention, which is mindfulness, and meditation. And I do those practices constantly every single day. And, you know, like you said, we have 60,000 thoughts a day, so I don't live on some, like, cloud every day where I have, like, the perfect focus and the perfect attention and concentration, and it's a practice. It's a practice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you have to start somewhere.
Yep. And it does start to become more of a default, but it's like, I still wake up every day and it's like, okay, here are my practices. Like I have a spiritual, well, really, you know, physical, emotional, and spiritual practice, certain things that I do every day. They're habits, positive habits that I do every day to keep it going. So I think it's really important to just stress that, you know, it takes a lot of courage to try something new. But I think that sometimes the fear that's there, it's just, it isn't real. It's like we might think, oh, this is unattainable. And it is unattainable to think or inattainable to think that you're going to be able to have like perfect focus every day. It's just not, you know, but it does make life a lot easier. So,
it does. And I'm amazed that, you know, I've been practicing this. I started practicing learning progressive relaxations and mindfulness skills in my 30s when I was dealing with a chronic illness. And I went to the library and got some books out, and then I listened to some guided imagery and whatnot, and I didn't know what I was doing. But I discovered very quickly that I could turn, I was dealing with a chronic illness and chronic pain, and I could turn my pain down in 10 or 15 minutes. And I hadn't turned it down at all in some years. And to start to be able to incorporate that into my day on a daily basis, make it a habit so that every day I did that, and I, you know, that became part of my healing. And what then happened is that I started practicing being present during my day, just when I'm talking to you, when I'm writing, when I'm driving, when I'm brushing my teeth, when I'm taking my shower, whatever I'm doing. And it feels like, for me, that each moment feels like the colors have been turned up. They're more present. I'm more present. It's more of a deeper experience. I enjoy those moments that more. And, you know, I have an increased ability to be present in my life and my work.
Yeah.
I can turn down my stress response, you know, pretty much instantly now. Doesn't mean I don't get stressed. It just means that I can notice that I'm stressed.
Right.
And I can do something about it.
And
concentrate better and sleep better. You know, disengage from that inner critic that's always, I picture this little inner critic sitting on my shoulder going, yep, you can't do this, you can't do that. And to be able to stuff a sock in its mouth and say, I'm fine. Everything's going to be all right. I can do this. And to be able to change the self-talk and so forth, and then being able to connect my higher power and my inner wisdom. So it runs the gamut here of all the things that it can do, and it's not hard. It's really simple. It's just a matter of learning how to do it.
It's amazing to me. It really is. It's like I get so pumped up about this stuff, and it's like I almost feel guilty because it's like this awesome secret, and I'm like, how does everybody not know about this? You know what I mean? It's just, you know, it's like I'm like hogging this secret, and you know, it's interesting. You mentioned the chronic pain. I found meditation, same type of thing. I found guided meditation. I was, when I was pregnant with my first daughter, and I was having a really difficult time sleeping, and I was in pain, and that was the only thing that actually got me to sleep. So I became like, oh my gosh, I need this, you know? So I started doing it, and I think that's how the habit started to happen. But I've noticed that, like, even just recently, I injured my neck. I pulled something in my neck, and it was like, when I'm present, I mean, I can turn that pain down, which is really incredible when you think about just the severity of physical pain. Like, if you've got someone in physical pain, they want relief. I mean, it's something that people don't really sit with. You know, if you've got a toothache, you're not going to sit around and wait to go to the dentist. You're going to go and get it taken care of. It motivates people, I guess. And I think that's what motivated me to try meditation. I was desperate. I could not sleep, and I was getting to the point where my anxiety was building. I was afraid, and I just wanted to feel better. And I found some relief in meditation, and I've really, you know, I just really took to it. It was like this whole other world opening up, and really just this gift of, wow, you know, I got the pain relief, but then I also started to notice that it would spill over into other areas of my life. So I wasn't mm-hmm. as anxious doing, you know, other stuff in my day. And then I started to like do it at different times during the day. And one of the things I do today is a guided meditation between 12 and 1 o'clock every day. And it's like, I used to just be exhausted by that time of day. And it's like, now I do this like mid-afternoon. It's like a recharge, which seems mm-hmm. really counterintuitive, because it's like, how can you be meditating and it be a recharge? But it is. I mean, it's like,
it is.
Yeah, it's amazing. So
it feels like pushing the reset button somehow.
It does. It does. It does. It's awesome. And you know, the other thing is that's really interesting to me is that I think a lot of people struggle with taking the time to mm-hmm. do it. So, mm-hmm. you know, with mindfulness, like you said, it's something that you can just do while you're doing everything else or while you're doing other things. And, you know, people ask me all the time, well, I don't have that much time. How do you make all this time to do all this stuff? And, you know, my answer is I'm motivated because I don't want to go back to the way that I used to be. I don't want to go back to that anxiety. I don't want to go back to the depression. I know what it felt like, and I know what happens when I don't do certain things. So that's a big motivator. But the other part of it is that I'm thinking anyways. So if we're all thinking, it's like, all right, well, if I actually have a choice between, you know, allowing these negative thoughts, or I'm thinking about the inner critic now, you know, if I have a choice between allowing this inner critic to really run my life and dictate what's happening or, you know, to scare me. Mm-hmm. Or I can think about something else. I have a choice to do something else, a quick 1 minute activity or whatever it is. You know, it's like, well, why wouldn't I not, you know, I'm going to be thinking anyway. So why wouldn't I channel it into a positive direction?
When I was working in the intensive outpatient program with, in a psychiatric setting, I was teaching mindfulness. I was running mindfulness skills several times a week for the patients there. And it was really incredible to see the changes in how they felt. But by just teaching them, like, okay, what do you do this week? What's something you do every day? And an example, one of them says, well, I wash the dishes. I said, okay, so when you're washing the dishes, just do a mindfulness exercise and pay attention to everything there is to notice about washing the dishes. Notice how the temperature of the water, what the suds look like, what it smells like, what the food on the dishes feels like when you're scrubbing it, what it feels like when it's clean, whatever, and incorporate it right into their day. They didn't have to spend any extra time practicing mindfulness because they were already washing the dishes. And instead right. of washing the dishes and the totally stressed out and anxious and thinking about, you know, a lot of negative thoughts, all these kinds of things, we replaced all of that instead with just paying attention to, you know, the sensations, the sensory of washing the dishes. And you could do it with brushing your teeth or driving the car, eating, anything that we do every day. And it's amazingly yep. simple, but amazingly powerful when you start doing it. And every time you notice you're not thinking about washing the dishes while you're washing the dishes, just say, oh yeah, I wanted to pay attention to washing the dishes. Bring your attention back. And we tend to multitask. We tend to be thinking about 7 million things at the same time. And in fact, your brain can really only do one thing at a time. So choose yep. what that is. Just choose it. What is it that you want to be thinking of? You'll be more effective. You'll be more efficient. With clients, I can be totally present with them, and that makes a huge difference in my ability to help people because they know they have my total
right.
undivided attention.
Yeah.
And in business,
yeah,
that's a huge skill to have, to be instead of being distracted and thinking about when my next appointment is, or if I call this person back, or all those things, to be totally present with that person. And it,
yep.
I can help them better, and they feel helped.
Right.
Much better.
Yeah, there's so many benefits. I actually went to the APA. It looks like there's a help guide collaboration. So it's between Harvard and the APA. And it says, let's see, it improves your well-being, so contributes to a more satisfied life. It makes it easier for you to savor the pleasures in life as they occur, and it gives you a greater capacity to deal with adverse events. Many people that practice mindfulness find that they are less likely to get caught up in worries about the future or regret of the past. They're less preoccupied with concerns about success and self-esteem and able to form deeper connections with others. It improves your physical health. It relieves stress, treats heart disease, lowers blood pressure, reduces chronic pain, improves sleep, alleviates stomach problems, and let's see, it's also being used as an important element in the treatment of a number of problems, including depression, substance abuse, eating disorders, couples conflicts, anxiety disorders, and OCD. I mean, that's not even including focus, creativity. I've definitely seen a boost in my creativity
mm-hmm.
from practicing mindfulness. And
when I started teaching this, you know, doing workshops and teaching clinicians how to teach their clients mindfulness, I looked at the research. You know, I'd been practicing it forever and working with my clients, but when I looked at the research, I found that it was compelling, that it helped
right.
all those things you mentioned. But what even more was so exciting to me, being the brain lady, is it actually changes the brain waves.
Yeah.
It changes the density of the gray matter in certain areas of the brain, and it increases the blood flow in the attention and emotional regulation centers. And,
right.
you know, this is science. It's not, you know, airy
right.
fairy stuff and new age.
Right.
This is changing the functioning of your brain. Like,
right.
Maybe you don't need to take those medications. Maybe you could do
right.
this instead.
right. And, you know, with that, the changing the gray matter in the brain and other things. So that is the type of thing where scientists used to think that we became adults and our brains kind of stayed the same. And now they're showing that that's not the case. So that's
the neuroplasticity.
Amazing.
It's called neuroplasticity, that we can change our brains. And of course, I've been a neurofeedback practitioner for 15 years, and I can watch the brain change right on my screen every day when I'm running a neurofeedback session. I can see the brain waves changing. So I know it. I don't have to believe it. I know it.
Right.
So,
it's incredible.
But I discovered that the mindfulness practice does some of the same things. It's just, you know, much more portable and simpler and less expensive. So,
right.
Giving
right.
them some skills to do it.
Right. And I wanted to just share a couple examples of how I use mindfulness, because I think until you really try it, you know, Wayne Dyer talks about, he has this little story that I really like, and it really helps to explain the importance of actually doing things and trying things yourself. So he talks about, like, swimming. And, you know, I can read about swimming and I can watch other people swim, but until I actually swim, I'm not getting the full benefit. So I guess what I'm saying to people listening is, you know, I'm going to give a couple examples of ways that I use it in my life, and then just try it today. Just try it. Just the next time, you know, I tend to go to it. Well, I do it proactively, but I'm really starting to go to it when I am in an emotional state that doesn't feel good. You know, so
mm-hmm.
like anger, you know, I've learned that it's not a great idea for me to act on anger, especially if it's with someone else. So, you know, but I can't ignore it. I can't
right.
stuff it down, which is something that I tried to do for a very long time in my life. So it's like, okay, so practicing mindfulness for me, it may even mean just sitting there and trying to be thinking about, okay, I'm going to pull myself out of this situation. I can, you know, take my soul's perspective or kind of pull myself up and look at the situation from above without judgment, like you said, just being an observer and, you know, okay, or what's going on right now? How am I feeling? I can feel my heart pumping harder. I can feel that I have a feeling in my body. Usually for me, it's in my chest and it doesn't feel good, you know, and it was really hard for me to do this at first because all I wanted to do was escape that feeling. But I found that when I try to escape my feelings or emotions, like I said earlier, it's all energy. And if I'm just going to push it down, it's going to end up coming out some other place towards someone else in a way that I don't want, that isn't healthy. So, you know, maybe it's using mindfulness for that. Sometimes when I wake up in the morning, my mind wants to start going into, oh my gosh, how am I going to get it all in? How am I going to fit it all in? I have X, Y, and Z to do. And then it's like, wait a minute, you know, let me just take the next right step. You know, okay, I'm walking from my bed to my bathroom, you know, and I'll just walk myself through kind of like a play-by-play of what I'm doing. You know, okay, here's the sink in front of me. I'm turning the water on. Now I'm hearing the water. You know, the water sounds good. What does the water look like? It's just really basic, like I said, kind of like a narration of what I'm doing. And another thing that I do several times a day is I indulge my sense of smell, because the sense of smell for me is a very strong, something that can bring me a very strong, quick burst of pleasure. And I have fresh flowers around my house. I love looking at beautiful things, so I spend money on fresh flowers every week. I love looking at them, but I also love smelling them. And I have lotions and soaps at various points in my house that I use because, I mean, it sounds really simple, but it is. It's like indulging in the simple pleasures. You know, when you do that several times a day and you just breathe that in, that scent, or really take a second to appreciate the flowers or appreciate whatever it is, you're more present. You're more present.
Absolutely.
You feel things fuller. And it sounds so simple, but I would say that practice alone has really contributed significantly to the amount of joy that I have in my life every day. And it's just stopping and doing things various times during the day, just like that. So
one of the skills that I have used myself so much and taught so many people, including 7-year-olds, is I call it change the channel. And I'll give you an example of a little girl that was so anxious that they were ready to remove her from her school placement because she just couldn't deal with school and the kids were teasing her and everything. And I said, okay, well, it sounds like you're watching your worry channel all the time. She said, oh, yeah. And I said, well, what channel would you rather watch? And she said, well, I like to dance. I'd like to watch my dance channel. And I just suggested to her, she already knew, she had some awareness that she was worrying when she was worrying. So I said, whenever you notice you're worrying, I want you to pretend you pull your remote control, your imaginary remote control out of your pocket and change the channel to your dance channel, which is your happy channel. And she started doing that. And I'm telling you, I get tears in my eyes whenever I tell this story, but in 2 weeks, she had no anxiety.
Wow.
She rewired her brain, reprogrammed it entirely by just not staying in that anxiety. She was able to change
awesome.
The channel and rewired her brain. And it was, you know, an amazing transformation. And I've seen it happen over and over again. People that are not only anxious, that's one of the ones, but if you're depressed and you've got the little negative self-talk
right.
going on, or the major negative self-talk going on, all on and on and on and on, or the stress channel. You know, think about what channel are you watching at any given
right.
moment, and is it the channel you want to watch, if it is, keep watching it, all right? I'm not telling you what to do here, but if you'd rather feel better, maybe you could think about other channels that would, for me, I'm a nature person. I love the beauty of nature. So all I have to do is change channel and imagine I'm watching the ocean wave or a bird walking or the beautiful sky with some clouds and something. That's my peace, my de-stress channel. It's just I can do it instantly. And it's a very powerful skill that, you know, just think about it. What would you put on your happy channel, your calm channel? And every time you notice that you're not watching that channel, change the channel.
Right. That's wonderful. That's awesome.
And you will be rewiring your brain. And I love the science. We're not just telling you so. We have the brain scans to prove it.
Wow, that's great. I want to say real quick, I mentioned at the start of the show the chance for winning $75 for sending me an email. I don't want to forget to include this information. So what I'm doing is in my classes and a couple of the Radical Self-Love Challenge that I'm doing, I'm doing something that's like wins of the week. So anytime anybody has something great that happens as a result of being in the class or learning something, they just let me know what their win is. So I want to do that here too. So if you are listening to the show anytime now and through the end of March, and you're doing one of these activities, like anything that you learned today from mindfulness, and it helps you in any way, send me an email to jp@jamiefeffer.com, and you will automatically be entered into a random drawing. And I'm just going to pick a winner out of the wins. I'll call it the wins of the month. I'm going to pick a winner during the last show in March, and that person is going to get $75 cash. So I talked about this on the last show, and we have not gotten a lot of entries. So you have a really good shot at winning. Anything that you use on the show or the next show, just send me an email and we'll put you in for the drawing. And then I also wanted to do the little exercise that I promised to make sure that I get that in before we go. And then after that, I want to see, Deb, if you can talk a little bit about focus, because that's something that I'm very interested in. So if you brought a piece of candy with you or an apple, this is the time that you're going to grab that. And we're just going to do a quick little exercise that you can do anytime, any place. You know, if you've got a board meeting or you're getting ready to give a speech and you just can't control your anxiety, you just want to jump out of your body. I know that's happened to me sometimes. Just think of this activity and think of mindfulness, because I think that you'll find some relief. So what I want you to do is I want you to take your piece of candy and unwrap it. And if you have an apple, I want you to just take it in your hand. And I want you to imagine that you are an alien. And you've just come down to Earth. And you've never seen anything like this before. You've never seen an apple or a piece of candy. You have no idea what it is. So I want you to just study it for a minute. Really feel how it feels in your hand, or if it's candy. How does it feel in between your fingers? And how would you describe it to someone, to your other alien friends? So you've got this item, and then I want you to bring it close to your nose and just take a smell. And really take in that scent. And then I want you to notice what it looks like. Really look at it up close. Does it have grooves in it? Or is it just really smooth? And lastly, I want you to take a bite of it. And really experience it. If it's the apple, what kind of sounds did it make? And what does it taste like? And now I want you to stop doing this activity, and I want to ask you a question. Were you thinking about your worries? And I know the answer is no, because I've done this activity several times, and people always come up to me afterward and say how moving it was. I learned it as a part of a course that I teach called the Creative Insight Journey. And originally, I think that I learned it from Jon Kabat-Zinn, and he was really the first person I learned about mindfulness from, and he has an activity with a raisin where he does something very similar. So that is a real quick mindfulness activity that you can do. All right, Deb, we are really getting close on time. We've got about 3.5 minutes left, and I want to very quickly, you've got a wealth of resources, so if anyone wants to connect with Deb, please visit www.thebrainlady.com. And like I said, she's got 2 Amazon best-selling books on mindfulness skills and 4 books about ADHD. She also has CDs that help with ADHD, sleep, and mindfulness. And Deb, I'm going to have to say, I'm definitely going to have you back to talk about that specifically.
Okay.
Is there anything quick that you can say about focus in younger children? Are there any activities, like I have a 6-year-old who has a hard time focusing in the morning when it's time to get herself ready?
Well, using the principles of neuroplasticity to actually train the brain to focus better, there are lots of activities. I have 154 of them in my mindfulness skills for kids and teens, but one that I'm loving and the kids seem to love is to use a mindfulness glitter bottle, and I just take a bottle of water and I put some glitter in there, maybe a little dab of soap or glycerin to make it swirl in there better, but to teach them to be able to focus, they shake it and we say, okay, that's your mind when you're distracted and your mind's all over the place, or you're anxious or you're angry, right? We can use this for a variety, but as you hold the bottle and you sit still and you just breathe, what happens? All that glitter starts to settle out and your mind begins to clear. And you can do it so that it, you know, settles very quickly, or you can do it where it takes longer to settle so that they practice longer. But I've used this with lots of kids and teenagers, actually and adults, as just a way to start training them to pay attention to something that's a little fun to pay attention to. You can use different colors, whatever. And then I have a CD that is basically using their imagination to pretend, for example, they're in the classroom and the teacher is teaching, but the student next to them is trying to talk to them, and the janitor's walking by or whatever, but to just say, you know, say not now, and bring your attention back to the teacher. So just by the power of suggestion, I've got little kids, even 2-year-olds, running around saying not now, not now.
That's great.
So that's on Amazon and on my website. But there are lots of ways. Of course, neurofeedback is the gold standard to actually help people improve concentration that have severe trouble with it. But the mindfulness skills are very powerful, and it just takes practice. You got to do it and do it.
All right, so that's in your workbook. So that's Mindfulness Skills for Kids and Teens, a workbook for clinicians and clients with 154 tools, techniques, activities, and worksheets. Well, I'll be on your website looking for that later today.
Okay.
So, all right, wonderful. Well, it was just a privilege to have you here today. I really appreciate all of the wonderful information that you shared with the listeners. And again, it's Deborah Burdick, and her website is www.thebrainlady.com. I hope you all have a wonderful day, and I am Jamie Pfeffer, signing off and wishing you an awesome day. Bye.